If you are not normally in here, I am not the normal teacher. I'm the substitute. Dr. Vogelin does a phenomenal job. Make sure you pray for your teacher and thank God for him. I am going to kind of pick up where he left off, not quite the same way. I think he's semi-inimitable. We'll go to Psalm 37. This is the fourth lesson from Psalm 37. And he's been covering two verses per week, but he generously gave me three. So I have Psalm 37, verses 5 through 7 for us. Psalm 37, 5 through 7. It says this, "Commit thy way unto the Lord." I was, just there, I was thinking, when I was, sometimes a person is not acting quite right, and somebody else might say, they need to be committed. Meaning, the people with the white coats need to come and tackle them and drag them away. I was thinking, we ought to be committed or risk being committed. Because without the Lord, well, we go through some awful anguish, mentally and other ways. And with the Lord, boy, he helps us so much. "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Well, what's the it? He shall bring it to pass. Well, if you give your way to him, I think a couple things is the destination of that way, it'll be good. The end, he'll bring you along on that journey, and the end of that journey will be good. And along the way, his promises he will keep. "And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." So verse 6 there is the slanderer. Maybe you've been there. I think we've all been there, at least in school, grade school, or siblings in the home. Somebody lies about you, right? And then mom is getting on your case, or the teacher's getting on your case. You're like, it's not fair that someone could lie about me and paint a picture that is not true. Well, welcome to life. Huh? And it doesn't quit when you get out of grade school. And it doesn't quit when you get out of the home. People will paint the wrong picture of you. And who watches out for me in those situations? And here's a promise right there. If you're committed to God, God says, "He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light." He will make it evident, just like an overcast day where rays of light are able to shine through. God will shine through those lies. And your righteousness will be brought forth as the light. And thy judgment, is the idea of vindication. And thy vindication as the noonday. We wish that just like God, when Jesus was being baptized, a voice could come from heaven and say, "Be quiet, everyone." He's pleased with that. it's not that. Boy, that'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? It would help us as well. But it, God has his own way of doing those things. So this is the fourth of the lessons in Psalm 37. Lesson one was an overview, and he talked about this chapter. The main theme of this chapter is that the righteous will be preserved even though, fill in the blank, right? Even though it seems like in this world, the one who prospers is the one that's not doing right. It seems like, boy, he seems to get ahead by dishonesty. If I ever want to get ahead, I'm going to have to do a little bit of that. And we have to remember that there are two world systems going on, right? We have the world system down here that God says we're not supposed to love. And yes, it has its own value system. And the way you get ahead in that value system is to lie, cheat, and steal, and be greedy. But there's another value system that's less apparent, but it's more eternal, right? God has a value system that he wants us to, by faith, make note of and follow and value. And that value system goes on into eternity, while the world's value system First John reminds us that it passes away and the lust thereof, but it's still hard. Because with these eyes, we wake up seeing only one value system. And it's not until we open this and we come to church that we're reminded of the real value system, the kingdom of God, and living for it and making it important in our lives. Dr. Bogan pointed out that it's helpful to sing. So they would have sung the Psalms. But in addition, this psalm is an alphabet song, a psalm going through. There's a couple verses that would begin in Hebrew with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and then the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet going on until the last Hebrew alphabet letter. So, by the way, the trying of our faith, Peter said, is much more precious than gold because it shows us what we're made of. And it's important that we see from God what we're made of, not that we assume that we know what we're made of. Peter realized how important that was when he mentioned that verse in 1 Peter 1:7. So the overview is the first lesson. The second lesson, he talked about verses 1 through 2. That was the Aleph lesson. The Hebrew letter Aleph, both of those verses would start with that. And his lesson was entitled, Fret Not Thyself. Verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, don't fret and don't envy evildoers. And Dr. Bogan pointed out that if the Bible's warning us not to fret because of the evil and not to envy the blessings that they get from being evil, if God warns us about those things, it must be an issue that he thinks we will deal with. Agreed? So we want to say, if I'm not going through it, I did go through it, or I will go through it, or all of the above. Where you look around and say, oh, Lord, why are they getting away with that? And I'd kind of like to have that, but they got it with dishonest means. And maybe I should be a little less honest to get ahead in this system down here. So fret not. And I wrote this down. We should expect a wicked world to do wicked things. We shouldn't be shocked when a wicked world is wicked. And then be shocked that they aren't punished right away. And then shocked that it seems, for the moment, to be not only getting away with it, but having the time of their lives. In their world system, they are succeeding. Bottom line. But it's a world system that doesn't last and has zero eternal value. And God isn't pleased with it. He's very displeased. And he tells us, don't be friends with that world system. So come to church. This is a good place where God's word is opened. And the other value system, the real value system, we're reminded of that week after week, what truly matters in eternity. Another reason why I love to come to church. So in verse 2, he says the lost will be cut down like grass. Not just the lost, but the people that commit their way instead of to God, but they commit their way to this other value system. I just looked this verse up. Isaiah 40 verse 6 says, all flesh is grass. But I remember in Psalm chapter 1 that if we love God's word, we can be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And that's much sturdier, isn't it? Would you rather be like a tree or like the grass? All flesh is grass, but we have the opportunity to be something better if we will be in love with these scriptures and commit our way to the way that's taught in these scriptures, to the one, the Lord Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And then the last lesson, lesson 3, was trust and obey. This was the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, bet. This was verses 3 and 4, trust and obey. He pointed out in verse 3 to trust, and trust is internal. So internally, we have the attitude of trust, and then obey would be external. External, we have the actions. Internally, we have the right attitude. Externally, we have the right actions. And then he pointed out in verses 3 and 4, there were 5 commands. Remember that? How many of you like me looked at verses 3 and 4 and said, I only see 3 commands in those verses? And he found 5, just like Dr. Bogan, to throw a curveball like that. The first lesson is pretty apparent, trust in the Lord. The second lesson was pretty apparent, do good. But then the third lesson was not, I'm sorry, the third command was less apparent, where it says, so shalt thou dwell in the land. And he was saying that there's a command there to dwell in the land. And the word so, while you're trusting, while you're obeying, dwell in the land with the posture of trusting and obeying. Dwell there. I jotted down bloom where you are planted. Bloom where you are planted. And how do you bloom where you're planted? Well, be where God has you. And then in the posture of trusting and obeying, there will be a blooming that God brings. The fourth command was less apparent, where he says with the feeding there, and verily thou shalt be fed. There's a command. There's a mood of command there. Be fed with truth. Be fed with truth. So we have our eyes. We can feed our eyes. We can feed our ears. We can feed our mouth. Be careful what's going in your different gates, and make sure truth is going in. There are other things, entertainment, other things that could be going in that strengthens the wrong worldview. Be careful to limit those things and major on the things. Be fed with truth. Then the last thing was delight thyself in the Lord. Nick Walding and I were at prayer last night and just talking about there are so many interesting things and God is one of them. And so we need to be careful how many things we allow ourselves to be interested in. Not that he's just one of the things that interests me, but he's the primary thing that interests me. I limit the other interests in my life so that my affections for him aren't stolen away. And I find out that he's there. This interests me for now. Well, and then, of course, we have the idea that, well, this opportunity, God will always be there. But this might not be here tomorrow. By faith, make God interesting, the primary interest every single day. And you find that life makes more sense. Verse 4, he talks about it, delight thyself in the Lord, who shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He talked about technology today. With our smartphone, we can be aware of every evil on the planet. And the world, if it bleeds, it leads, right? We know that's true. And it's like, this atrocity just happened. You're like, like, stay tuned after this commercial break. We'll tell you the next atrocity that just, and you can be hooked to the doom and gloom in this world perpetually. But he says, shut that down and don't get hooked by the wrong things. Delight thyself in the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. So these verses here are talking about how to live a contented life. And God is the only way to live a contented life. We see a world around us that not only lives a discontent life, but has learned to weaponize their discontent. And if you're not discontent like them, you're not woke. If you deny the discontent and don't attack somebody and be angry, You're just unaware. It used to be just, you're not content. There can be contentment in Christ. Well, they're like, oh, contentment? That's awful. You need to admit and weaponize the discontent and join us in rioting and tearing apart. And you're like, no. So these verses here that he taught last time are in the context of the evil seeming to prosper. How do we succeed when it seems like we're stuck in a system that is anti-God? And he talked about occupy till I come, didn't he? Like an invading army might go and then leave troops there when they go somewhere else. We're here looking out for God's kingdom, which exists in our hearts until our Lord and Savior come back one day. All right, so today my lesson is, I'm going to call it the discipline of dependence. The discipline of dependence. So dependence is easier said than done. And he gave me not only three verses, but two Hebrew letters to cover. So verses 5 and 6 both start with Gimel, and verse 7 is Dalet. So the third and fourth Hebrew letter in this Hebrew poetry. So the discipline of dependence. Verse 5, a couple lessons, or verses 5 and 6, we can see the idea of commit and trust. Commit and trust. Verse 7, we see the idea of rest and wait. Rest and wait. All of these words reminds us of that saying where somebody might say, let go and let God. Let go and let God. It's one of the most difficult things for us to do sometimes. Let God have his part of things and then see to my side of things and not be full of worry and anxiety over maybe God's mishandling his side of things. And you say, well, when you put it that way, I don't think that. Okay, maybe you don't think that, but we think that because of the anxiety we get filled with when God doesn't seem to be dealing with the world the way we think he should. Right? In that case, who are we really upset with? The world? Or with God for not dealing with the world the way we think he should? So this can be very destructive not to overcome this anxiety. He says there in verse 1, fret not. And then in our verse for today, in verse 7, he says again, fret not thyself because of him. So let's go through these verses. Verses 5 and 6, the idea there is commit and trust. Commit and trust. So commit, the Hebrew word galal, means to roll. It's the same word that's used in Joshua 10. In Joshua 10, that's where Joshua was fighting against the enemy. And the enemy was on the run. Joshua prayed and God stopped the sun. And then some kings found a cave to hide in because they were defeated. They ran into the cave. Word came to Joshua. There are some kings in a cave. He said, roll a great stone upon the mouth of the cave until I can get there and we can deal with them. So that's the same word, to roll, to commit. I kind of get the idea that if there's a heavy load on the top of this stairway here, and I'm able to back a pickup truck here, and then the bed is able to roll back to here, and then a few of us roll the heavy load onto the back of the pickup truck, the weight of that thing, the safekeeping of that thing, the entrusting of that thing has been committed to the pickup truck. And so for us, we need to commit our way, roll it onto him. We think of those verses, Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. The older I get, the more like when I go to pray through my list, I find myself thanking God that I can go to him with my list before I get to my list. Isn't it a blessing we have somewhere we can go with our list? Thank you, God, that I'm not making you aware of these needs. You are more aware than I am. And you love these people I'm praying for more than I do. Thank you for being that kind of God. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him. So casting, right? Casting, where it's away from you and it's somewhere else. It's committed. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Instead of fretting, we should commit our way to the Lord, roll our burdens on him. When we trust him, he will help us by taking care of everything that concerns us and bringing his purposes to pass. We see that at the end of our first verse there. He shall bring it to pass. As we commit every matter of our lives to God and continue in obedience to his will, he will defend us against the wrongs ungodly people inflict upon us. When we face severe trials, many people falsely conclude that it is God who is judging us. We heard about that Thursday night, huh? In the book of Job. And sadly, when vicious people slander us, there will be those who assume the worst, that they're telling the truth. All right? We are humans. and we like, oh, is that right? Really? Really? Hopefully, we've been walking with the Lord enough that you're like, okay, all right. You just know to take everything with a grain of salt, you know? When we leave these things in the Lord's hands, he will vindicate us. We have a promise right here where people, when you commit your way to God, it says here, he will bring forth thy righteousness as the light. In the end, he will vindicate you. Even though it seems like that person lies and they paint the picture that they want to paint and you feel powerless, we are powerless. But we have the wonderful opportunity of going to someone who isn't. And he wins in the end. And I'm on his side. He will vindicate us by causing our righteousness to break through their misconceptions like the morning sun. By blessing us so obviously and judging those who sin against us, God establishes our testimony. And then, in the end, there is a day coming when he will declare to the world that we were just in his sight. God spends a lot of time helping us with this. His way versus our way. And we must need it. We've all been there, haven't we? We see government getting away with awful things. Lord, why? Why do you allow that? The unborn, other innocents that are murdered. One group to slay another in the name of religion. We see stealing, child abuse, greed, financial dishonesty, immorality, taking advantage of the weak or elderly. I was talking to my banker this week, and she was talking about how it breaks her heart. She keeps hearing about some elderly person that scammed out of their savings. And you say, Lord, why don't you let those phone calls, you know, get disconnected right in the middle, just as they're about to get all that older person's money or whatever. Slander of good people, the stirring up of rage and rioting, cruelty, violence, perversion, murder, the breaking of the law, profanity, etc., etc., etc. And we must remember that David went through his time, didn't he? David went through the time where he's running for his life and hiding in caves and thinking, Lord, my faith tells me you're in charge, but there's another voice inside of me that sometimes, I'm sorry, doubts. Sometimes, when the one that's not honoring you is in the comfort of the throne room, and the one that's trying to is scared for his life. It really is easier said than done to say, I'm giving it all to you. When you're like, so it's yours, so you can have it. I still feel like I need to keep myself alive. But no, I'm sorry, I'm giving it to you. And it really is difficult to just give those things over to God. But David went through it. It is simple advice, but the simplest commands of God are often the most difficult for us to follow. We are not to fret over evildoers in our world. Instead, we need to trust the Lord while continuing to perform the good works he has commanded us to do. And we cannot allow the wicked deeds of others to rob us of the joy and blessings of knowing God. Nor can we permit them to deter us from obeying God. As we delight ourselves in him and in his plan for our lives, he will answer our prayers and shower his blessings on us. When others do wrong toward us, he will vindicate us. I was thinking, so do we take a page out of the cancel culture? Right? Do we take a page out of their playbook? Where if somebody says something opposite of what they say, there's no debate. They just don't exist anymore. Right? That's part of this cancel culture. Do we take a page out of their playbook? That anyone that says something other than what God says, they just don't exist. They just don't exist. I go on through life as though they don't even exist. No. I was thinking, yeah, no. Because they do exist. They have a wrong worldview and they're real souls that are headed to hell. But we can't be caught up in their worldview. We have to be caught up in the right worldview, close to the Lord, trusting and obeying, coming to church, remembering that God, there's a much bigger picture here that we're involved with. We're going to be with God 1,000 years from now, helping him with his plans. 10,000, there's a much bigger picture than this little worldview right here. This world's passing away, and there's people that are stuck in it. And we need to be very much absorbed into God's worldview and excited about what God has. And we don't cancel everyone who isn't. We can't do that, can we? It'd be nice. More convenient to just act like they don't exist. But Jesus still died for those people. We can't act like people that Jesus died for don't exist, can we? But we also can't be caught up in their mindset. As necessary as this advice was back then, it is even more necessary today. It seems like Paul is warning that things will worsen as we get closer to the time that Jesus is coming back. Listen to some of these verses in the Bible that warn us about trusting God. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 is a warning. This know also that in the last time perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Right? They're not just content to live a wicked life. They have to find someone that's living a holy life and attack them. We saw that all the way back in the Garden of Eden, huh? Cain wasn't just content to make his improper sacrifice. Something filled him with rage, so he had to kill the one that made the correct sacrifice. And that hasn't gone anywhere. That's still in the world around us. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Proverbs 3 is still there. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Jeremiah 17:7-8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the water. So it's there also besides Psalm chapter 1. This is Jeremiah 17. That spreadeth out her roots by the rivers and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. What about this cancel culture? Bible says we can't do the opposite. We can't act like they don't exist. In Romans 12, it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, ignore him, cancel him. No, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The last verse there is verse 7, rest and wait. Again, my lesson title today is the discipline of dependence. It's hard to let go and let God. I'm going to do something. You know what we can do about what's going on? Spend more time on our knees before the one who can truly do something about what's going on. God is working on a very grand scale. Dr. Bogan taught about fretting. Fretting has the idea of being overheated. Where there's a blazing hot rage that begins to build inside of us. And it's worsened with the feeling of helplessness. And we can't give in to those things. We should calmly rest in the goodness and sovereignty of God. Rest has the idea of being silent or still, to be quiet, one's nerves settled, or to be at peace. We should rest in the confidence that God does have a divine timetable. And he's never late with his timetable. God works according to that timetable. We need to wait patiently for him to do as he deems best. Be at peace, David advises. For in God's time, the wicked will be brought down. Can you focus on the faithfulness of God and let the foolishness of this world grow strangely dim? It's difficult, but it can be done. You can't do it on your own with his help. You can. Sometimes we're doing so good, but then that wickedness hits close to home when I'm the one being lied about. All right? It's not just wickedness that's out there. Now it's touched my life. Then it becomes very difficult. But the truths don't change. Pastor Allen was preaching, and he said, young person, won't you get to the point where you say, oh, God, I'm not interested in my way. I want your way. There are two ways, aren't there? Look there in verse 5. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. This up here, roll it into his care and his safekeeping. Because there's another way. Look down in verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. We know at the end of Psalm chapter 1, it says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So today, the discipline of dependence. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. And oh God, it's so good to open your word. Thank you for how precious it is. And thank you for how comforting it is. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless our day. Thank you for these that have come. I pray, Lord, that our souls would continue to be enriched by your goodness. Lord, show us things that we need to fix and change, and then help us to want to do those things because of our love for you and our desire to please you. I ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.